Okay, the next parable.
See the name of the next parable. It is called the parable of the friend at midnight, and it's in Luke chapter 11. This was a significant parable in my evolution. Because I remember when I first started studying the scriptures, I come across Jesus saying, ask and it shall be given. The principle of asking and receiving. So whatever you want to know, just ask and it will be given. Okay, I thought, well, that sounds good. So I started asking all kinds of things. And, you know, sometimes I got some inspiration on it, but there was a lot of things I didn't get answers on. I thought, well, it says ask and receive, and I'm asking, I haven't got it. What's going on here? And so I was wondering, is that scripture right or not? And then I come across a scripture in Luke, this parable. And it goes like this, and it solved the problem for me. There was a lady who had a family, and she had some family visit her at midnight. And she was out of bread to feed them. And they were hungry, and she didn't have anything to feed them. And she knew that her neighbor next door had some bread. So she goes next door and she pounds on the door. And you know, if you've already been to sleep an hour or two and had that happen, what would you do? The neighbor looks through the window at the top of the house and says, hey, what do you want? She says, I have a family visiting and we need the bread. I need to borrow some bread from you. And he says, go away. I've got all my family tucked in. They're all asleep. And so I can't help you right now. So go away. And then she keeps pounding on the door. And he says, what is with you anyway? She says, please, I need some bread to feed my guests. And I know you have some. So let us have some. Please let me in and give me some bread. He says, no, go away. You know, it's too late, so get out of here. And then she keeps pounding on the door. And then the parable ends with this. It says, and then he came down and gave her the bread, not because he liked her or because of anything that she did or anything, but just because she wouldn't give up. Okay. And in the same way, ask and you shall receive. And I thought, well, that explains it. You just have to keep pestering God, and pretty soon he'll say, man, just this guy's becoming annoying, so I guess I'm going to have to answer him. So it's kind of an amusing parable when you think about it. But when I read that parable, I thought, well, that kind of explains it. So just asking one time isn't enough. You got to keep pestering God if you really want something. And I have found that in my life, that things that I ask about at one time, maybe 20 years later, you know, after pondering it for a long period and pestering God in my mind, I'd be maybe just driving down the road, not thinking anything, and the answer comes, and I thought, wow, how come I didn't think of that before? Oh, well, I did get it, but it took a while, and it took some pestering. How about you guys? Have you guys had any experience with asking, maybe not getting it right away, but then getting it later on? Yeah, Susie?
When I was pondering the ending of a plural marriage that our great-great-great-grandfather ended, Wilford Woodruff, so I went to the Salt Lake archives. And I went in there and I said, so I got a hold of Wilford Woodruff's journal. And so I was reading it, and at this particular time, the church wanted to end polygamy so that they could become a state. So he asked the Lord, look, I want to end polygamy. And the Lord said, no, I don't want you to end it just yet. And so he came back again, and on the third prayer, he said, I'm at a quandary here. You know, they want statehood, I want to end polygamy. And the Lord, it said that the Lord told him, listen, Linda, I already told you 3 times no, now go out there and do whatever you want. And so he did, he ended it, and that was all she wrote.
Oh, that sounds a little like when they ended the judges and created the kings under Saul. They wanted a king. Israel wanted a king. And the Lord said no, and they kept pestering. Okay, but you'll regret it. Yeah, polygamy is an interesting thing. I think I don't feel that it was inspired, but I think giving it up for statehood was the wrong way to go. Because I think if they would have created their own state apart from the United States and done it with a truly constitutional government, that they could exist today and be a light to the rest of the world that is beyond what the United States is today.
Yeah. They're supposed to be an ensign to the nations.
Yeah. So by joining the other states, they were like ancient Israel that joined by having a king, like the other nations. The other nations, well, I have a king, so we should have a king. And they say, well, the other peoples of America are a state, so we want to be a state. And they could, if they had a continued and enlightened leadership, they could have a state so prosperous and so beneficial that the rest of the world would look at it today and say, we want to be like them. Yeah.
Yeah, quick question to come back to the parable, ask and you shall receive. Do you know why that is? Why you have to ask so viciously in order to receive? Why couldn't it just work the first time around?
Well, sometimes it does, but sometimes it doesn't. Now, when you ask, who do you get the answer from?
Your higher self.
And do you realize, though, that for your higher self to answer you, it's inconvenient for your higher self, just like you pound on the neighbor's door at midnight, it's inconvenient for him to come loan you something, to open the door, let you in, wake up his family. And so your higher self is comfortable. Your higher self just projects about 25% of its consciousness down to you on the average. Okay? It's got about 75% of itself doing group work with its soul group there. So, and normally, as you're going through your evolution, as you're going through your life, if you're an average person, you don't make any contact with your higher self. So the higher self doesn't have much to do with you until you die and return. Okay? But then, as you progress and get in tune with the Christ within and start paying attention, then the higher self gets aware of that and it can work with you. But to work with you, it is as uncomfortable for him as the person at midnight to be awakened and to come help the neighbor. That's very inconvenient. So he has, part of his consciousness has to leave the pure spiritual company of those in his group and pay attention to his lower self. And it's very uncomfortable for him because his vibration is lowered. Okay. So it's uncomfortable for the higher spiritual entities to come have anything to do with this world because the vibration is so different. So think of going from a very spiritual place to maybe some strip bar where everybody's hooting and hollering. The vibration is just a lot different for a lot of people. That would be very uncomfortable. Okay. So the higher self, you ask the higher self, and normally it'll just ignore you, okay? And say, think, well, he can just find out that for himself, you know? He hasn't used all that he has available yet. But you keep asking, and pretty soon the higher self will think, wow, okay, the guy's not going to give up. I'll give him a bone here. Let him have something. And well, so this is why that persistence is so important. Yeah.
I have another theory, and I've told you this, and you didn't give me any positive answer about it, so I don't know. I may be wacky about this. But I was thinking, who cares more about you and your life than, you know, your higher self? Well, why would the higher self care so much about you as an individual as opposed to other people? Let's say.
Well, because you're one, yeah.
And you're one.
Just like you are kind of like the only child of your higher self in a way of looking at it. So say you just have one child, you care a lot about that child. But if the child asks you something that it can do for itself, you'll pretty maybe say, well, go take care of it by yourself.
Well, that's not my theory.
Yeah.
My theory is your higher self is your future self.
Yeah.
And your future self sees your whole life as a whole that you're not. So if you ask the question that you want something to happen, your future self may look at your course of your life and go, that's not a good decision. There's some bad effects for that. Now, maybe you'll learn from that, maybe you won't. And maybe the effects of that may hit a whole bunch of people that not a good idea. So your future self may be resistant to answering your prayer.
Right, your future self will be one with your higher self. So there's a lot of truth to that.
Does it because say that the higher self kind of is in a state of relative bliss and doesn't really want to be bothered? It's hard to get its attention. And so that's why we have a soul or angel to kind of help feed us that inspiration. But the higher self, especially as you approach discipleship, you really have to bug it to get it to send light so that you can, you know, build the antikarana and all of that.
Yeah, there's lots of barriers. I guess, let me see what would be a good analogy. It would be like, well, think of you have a good friend dives under the sea, okay, and he gets into trouble, but it's not life-threatening, but he wants you to help him, and he wants you to dive into the sea and come assist him. And you think, well, that's, you know, I got to go through quite a process to do that, so it's uncomfortable. Can't you take care of that yourself, fella? Can you take care of that problem? And he says, no, I need some help, you know. And so after he bugs him about three, four, maybe half a dozen times, the guy thinks, well, not because he thinks he can't handle it himself, because the guy just has not given up. Okay, I'll go down now, I'll put on my suit and go down there and help him out. Okay. So it's a little bit like that for the higher self. It's uncomfortable for him to come and merge with us. Now, as we raise our vibration up, it becomes less and less uncomfortable for the higher self to meet us at the meeting point. So this is what we need to do as souls, is increase our vibration so the higher self or the solar angel can come and meet with us, and eventually we become what is called in the esoteric writing soul infused. When you're soul infused, then you have access to your soul at all times, because the soul is now comfortable meeting with you because your vibration and the soul's vibration are very similar. But in the beginning, the vibrations of the two are very different. And so we have to pester the soul to come meet us. Yeah.
I have a special